All right, very good. Thank you again for the music this morning. And I appreciate all those, and I appreciate those that fill in for us. And we have some that they're out today. We appreciate it so much. And Miss Stephanie's usually over in Junior Church, but I appreciate her coming over here today and filling in and then playing the offertory. Great job on that. And Miss Chris always does a wonderful job. Appreciate that. And then Brother Jason jumping in, and we had one choir leader go out and then another choir leader go out, so we're down to Brother Jason. A great job. Appreciate him doing that and leading the singing for us. And then we have other people filling in for those that are filling in, so we got a lot going on today. We appreciate everyone doing that. Appreciate the Knights jumping in, doing that special for us. A great job there. And so junior choir at 5:30, choir practice at 6:05 tonight, right? All right, so 6:05 right up here, and y'all can come listen to it, all right? Listen to choir practice as they do that. So thank you for that, and good to have Brother Don. Good to have your mother in, man. It's a wonderful treat to have her in this morning. That's great. Go to Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to fill in for Brother Jason and read the scripture for us this morning, all right? So Joshua chapter 24. And verse number 14, if you were here last week, you'll notice these are the same verses we read last week. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, I pray that you just be with us this morning. Just thank you again for all that we've already enjoyed with the music and the fellowship and Sunday school hour, the prayer meeting. We've spent a full day already, and we thank you for that. What a blessing it's been. And I pray that you meet with us in the preaching hour, Lord. Give us what we need, and I pray that you'd speak through me, Lord. Take what I say, and Lord, don't ever say anything that would go against your word. Help it to be right. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit be something the Holy Spirit could use in the hearts of the people this morning. I pray especially, as we've already been prayed up here, if there's someone in this building that's not sure of their salvation, Lord, I pray you touch their heart, convict them of their need for you. And I pray all of us, Lord, want to serve you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked last week and about Joshua in verses 14 and 15, and the decision that Joshua made, and this whole book of Joshua, as we get close to the end of it, is about what we're supposed to do as Christians, serving God, victorious Christian life that we're supposed to have and that's available for all of us. And we had the challenge there, and we talked about a good bit last week from Joshua, and I love what Joshua does. He doesn't wait on the people. He just says, here's what I'm going to do. And then gives the people his choice of what he's going to do. And this morning, I want to talk about this. We've been talking about different areas of the Christian life. I want to talk this morning about the serious Christian life. I was thinking back to, I'll tell stories from high school sometimes. I started thinking, that's a long time ago. That's over 30 years ago when I was in high school. But I do remember this. So I don't remember as many things as I used to, right, from back when I was in high school. But I remember this in high school, my senior year. And we had our basketball team, and we had a decent team. And I remember we finished up our season, and we won our tournament that we ended up in. And we had a pretty good record, and had a good group of guys. And anyway, successful season. Well, they did this. I don't know. It's the only time I remember them doing it when I was there. And I think it was either right at the end of the season or close to it. And they did a game between the varsity team and the faculty, all right, the faculty there. And so, and the men that were there on faculty and staff, and to be honest with you, they weren't very talented. I remember, you know, back then you look at them, and because I'm thinking of one in particular, and yeah, he was pretty old. He's probably like in his 30s, you know. And back then when you're 17, you know, man, they're 32, 33. Those people are old. And so I remember, and the guys on the team, we were talking about it, and so, you know, we were going to play, and we were talking about all these things we were going to do, you know, things our coach wouldn't normally let us do, that we were going to do that game and have fun doing this. And, of course, we knew in all that, no matter what we did,
we weren't going to lose. I mean, there's no, they weren't. I mean, if you'd seen the faculty there, and so anyway, so I remember we got into the game, and we started to play, and we let you know some of the guys that were on the bench, let them play a little more, and we just all this stuff that we were doing, and we got down close to the end, and I remember, I still can remember this one play in my mind. And this guy that was, I think he was our soccer coach then. He's, again, he's probably in his 30s. And, man, he came down, and it was the first time, it was only a few minutes left, and he scored. And I was sitting on the bench at the time, and I was thinking, you know, we might lose this. And we ended up, and I remember watching and seeing him score, and he was so excited. And I realized what was happening. And he in particular, and there's a couple other men that were on the back, they were taking that game so seriously. And we weren't. And because we knew we were going to win anyway. And it ended up, we lost. And we lost because we had more talent than they did. We were younger than they did. We should have won easily. But at the end of the day, it really mattered. They wanted to beat us really bad. And we did. I mean, but as kids, you don't care as much. But they were taking that thing so seriously. Now I look back on it, maybe too much so, right? I mean, they were taking it so seriously. And we weren't. And you see what I saw what happened even at a young age when somebody when you can't, it's not something, by the way, and let me just, we're gonna relate this to Christian life here in a minute. It's not a switch you can just turn on and off. I remember during the game thing, okay, now we gotta get serious, right? Now we gotta get serious. And it's just too late. It was too late. It was too far gone. And this morning I want to talk about the serious Christian life. And I want you to understand what I'm saying, and if you've been here any length of time, you know how we are here. And if you've been here for decades, you know how it's been for the last several decades. Listen, I love life. I enjoy life. I enjoy laughing. So we're not talking this morning about being serious all the time and never laughing. But also we have to understand this. There is a time to get serious, and that time to get serious is when we're talking about the things of God. And the things of God, to be serious about that. And you may, you know, you think back again to grade school, elementary, junior high, high school, even into college, and all the times I was in school. And you had some teachers, I still remember, that it's like you can never quite take them seriously. And even when they tried to discipline them, then they'd still throw a joke in there. And it was never any, no real teeth to it, nothing. And, you know, with those teachers, I never learned as much as those who really got serious about what they were doing. Now, as a young person, I didn't appreciate that as much. But I want you to think this morning, and we're going to talk about this, how serious we are when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to our Christian life, and I want to go through a few things this morning. Joshua throws out something to these people, and I want you to see the response of the people, and I want you to see Joshua. I want you to see Joshua and what he does. So Joshua, in verses 14 and 15, he says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Basically, it's time for you to make a decision. And so let's look at what the people do. Look at verse number 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Now here's their choice. Wherefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. So number one, you have a serious choice. The people of Israel get together and they said, we are going to serve the Lord. Hey, Joshua, I know you said you and your house are going to serve the Lord. Our decision this morning is we're going to serve the Lord. By the way, I hope there's everybody in here. I hope, first of all, you're saved this morning. You cannot serve the Lord without first being His child. The only way you can be His child is to accept Him as your Savior. That's it. All right, so you have to choose, first of all, to be saved. We talked about a good bit last week. That's a choice for salvation. By the way, isn't it amazing? And I was listening to some messages this week. That people are willing to go to hell with their sins paid for. Jesus already paid for your sins. Hey, He already died on the cross for us. And I was talking recently, I think, to Brother Jason and somebody else about this. You think about the choices that people make, and they have every opportunity to choose to do right. But you know, the Bible teaches this. The Bible teaches that, if you, we'll go there this morning, but it talks about this in the New Testament. The Bible says, this is hard for me to comprehend, that there was a time when the angels had a choice. There's a one time, as best we can tell, biblical doctrine there. There's a one time choice angels had. They don't get saved like we do. In fact, Hebrews says they sort of desire to know what it's all about. They don't really understand it. But, you know, the Bible tells us this, that these angels created by God had a choice, and one-third of the angels chose to go with Satan. You think about that. What was there to influence them to make a wrong choice, to do wrong? I don't know what, outside of Satan himself, and that tells you, by the way, it tells you the power of Satan. Tells you what he's capable of. But he was able to talk one-third of those angels to leave heaven, where they were, right? To leave heaven with God and to go with him. So if there's one-third of the angels that chose to go against God, then we know this. There's a lot of people here on earth that have chosen, even though they have the opportunity to get saved, have chosen not to. And I hope that's not you this morning. Man, I hope you realize Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins and to choose to get saved. And then, once you're saved, I hope this morning, if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, that you will make the same choice these Israelites made. They said, we will also serve the Lord. And they give the reasons. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, so we won't spend a lot of time with it, but I read you there in verse number 17. They said, first of all, the Lord, he's the one that brought us up out of the land of Egypt from bondage. He's the one that brought us out of sin, and he brought us to salvation. And so, again, this morning, if I'm saying, who should I serve? Who should I try to live for? It should be the one who gave me salvation. And they'd say the same thing. God's the one that led us out of bondage. And then verse 17, he did great signs in our sight, preserved us. He made sure he protected us as we went along the way, all the people who we passed by. He protected us all through the wilderness. In verse number 18, and the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. He said, so not only that, once we got here to the promised land, God's the one that made sure that we won the victory. He gave us the victory. And by the way, this morning, you live a victorious Christian life. That's not because of me. That's because of God. God is doing that through me, right? If I'm able to live and serve him, it's God working through me. It's not me. And so they understand that. They appreciate that. And they said, and there's no way in verse back in verse number 16, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. No, we're going to serve the Lord. That's their choice. And I think it's very interesting, very telling Joshua's response. Look at verse 19. They've made a serious choice. Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Joshua says, hey, hold on a second. As you say you want to serve God, let me tell you something this morning. You can't serve God. Here this morning, what if you were to come up and say, hey, I want to volunteer to help out in Vacation Bible School, and I was looking at you and say, no, you can't. What do you mean I can't? I can be here, I can be there, I can be on time, I can, there's talent. No, you can't. You can't do it because of the way you're living. Now, what if we did that? And that's what Joshua looked at the people of Israel and said, he said, listen, you're talking about serving God. You cannot serve God. You can't serve God. He said, let me give you some reasons. Verse number 19, you cannot serve the Lord. Number one, for he is a holy God. Hey, if we're going to try to serve God, understand we're serving a holy God. You know what that means? The reason some people can't serve God, there's too much sin in their life. Too much sin. Now, this doesn't mean that God has to have somebody perfect, because God only uses what he has, and we're all broken vessels. We understand that. But we can't tell God, hey, God, I'm going to do whatever. I'll serve you. And yet, in the way we live, it's not righteous. It's not holy before him. Too much sin. Isn't it amazing? We think back to Genesis chapter 6. And Genesis chapter 6, throughout the whole world, who's going to serve God? And the Bible says there was only 8 people. 8 righteous. That doesn't mean they were perfect, no. But 8. There was so much sin in the whole world. Millions and millions, possibly even billions of people. And only 8 out of those, that whole group, could serve God. That was it. And so, they're the only ones that were able to get on that ark, and God preserved them and God saved them. It says Joshua tells the people, he's a holy God. Hey, if we're going to serve God, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's a serious matter. It's a serious choice that we have to make, and it can't be something flippant that we just say, well, yeah, I'm going to try to, yeah, oh, he preached a message, he talked about doing, yeah, I'm going to try to do something. No, we got to be serious about it. We have to understand it's a holy God that we're trying to serve with our lives. Not only is he a holy God, in verse number 19, the Bible says he is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. Hold your place there. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. And in our vernacular, in the connotation, we look at the word jealous, it pretty much has a bad meaning for us, right? We think about jealousy, and we think about it. In other parts of the Bible, it talks about that envy is what we think about more. But obviously, if God is a jealous God, that means that's something that's not inherently sinful. In the way it's mentioned, look at Exodus chapter 34, look at verse number 13. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. Verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. God says, you better not worship anybody, anything else except me. You know what God wants? You know what a problem is? It's a holy God. There's too much sin even amongst Christians. He's a jealous God. There's too much sharing of worship. There's too much sharing of our devotion. Too much sharing of our attention to something or someone else instead of giving it to God who deserves it. And let me tell you something. That's not always something that we would think of as sinful. I'm talking about this. You can put your work above God. You know that? There's nothing wrong with going to the job and doing your work. But you can put that above God. You can put your family above God. What's the Bible say about Eli? Right, about his children, he wouldn't discipline them like he is supposed to because he put them, in essence, above God. Hey, those things even that are good around us, we can put above. God doesn't share with anybody. You say, oh, I was good. No, hey, you know why? Because he's a holy God, because he's a righteous God, because he created us. And we were created, the Bible says, for thy pleasure we are and we're created. We're created to serve him, to please him. That's what we're supposed to do. And Joshua says, hey, you talk about serve. You say, I'm choosing to serve God. Understand, God's a jealous God. He doesn't share that with anybody. And you go through Scripture, and you find those who tried to take on the worship of God and how God dealt with them. God's not playing around when it comes to worshiping him. And he's a jealous God. He's a holy God. And then look at back in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua tells people, you can't serve him. You can't. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. Look at verse number 19. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Man, you say, what in the world? I thought he was faithful and just to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? What does it mean he won't forgive your transgressions, your sins? Look at verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. Let me tell you this, because God is a holy God and because God is a jealous God, there is always judgment and punishment for sin. Hey, God doesn't quit judging just because we're saved. In fact, the Bible tells us he chastens his children, right? God will chasten his children. And by the way, go hold your place there. Go to the New Testament. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. You say, well, that's just with the people of Israel. No, it's true with us today. Is we try to make a decisions. I hope they're the right decisions. Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34. And when he called the people in him with who? With his disciples also. He said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let me tell you something this morning. You try to live for yourself, and you try to live in such a way that displeases God, don't expect God to sit back and do nothing about it. They understand that there's a God that loves us and he cares for us. But he's also a holy God. He's also a jealous God. And in Joshua chapter 24, it says, he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And let me tell you why he won't. It's because we get selfish. And I quoted you the verse in 1 John 1:9, but I left out the first part. Right? What's the first part say? If we what? Confess. God doesn't forgive you if you don't confess your sin. Let me tell you this morning. Hey, we don't preach a salvation that you get saved no matter what. No, I get saved when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior because I know I'm a sinner on my way to hell without Christ. I don't just get saved because, oh God, I believe in you, I'm saved now. No, no, no. Hey, let me tell you this morning, you continue to sin against God and sin against God and sin against God. You say, will God forgive your sin? Yes, he will, if you confess your sin. Right? If we don't confess our sin day by day, now if you're saved, you're still on your way to heaven. But you know what we're supposed to do? Daily, we're supposed to confess our sin to get that relationship right with God, right? And that relationship is not going to be right with God. Hey, you're a child this morning, and you do something against your parents, and you hurt your parents. Do your parents still love you? Yes, they do. Hey, do your parents want to do it? But until you can admit that you were wrong and go to... Remember the story of the prodigal son? What's the Bible say? What happened to him? He what? He came to himself. He realized what he had done, and then he came back. Hey, he didn't come back arrogant and say, hey, I want some more money, Dad. Man, that wasn't up. No, 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 no. He came back humbled, right? And Dad was waiting with open arms, ready to take care of him. But sometimes I think we as Christians, well, God's going, and God will forgive. God will forgive. God is full of mercy. He's full of mercy. Man, I'm so thankful he is. But there's some Christians going around thinking they don't need God's forgiveness and God's mercy because they're not doing anything wrong. Hey, if we're sinning against God and living in a lifestyle that goes against God, how are we expect to serve him? And Joshua looks at the people and he says, hey, I've seen a little bit of what's going on here. You cannot serve God. They said, we've made a serious choice. We want to serve him. He said, no, no, you can't. But look at the people's response. Look at verse number 21. I like this. Look at what the people said. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. I said, no, no, I know, we know what you're saying, Joshua, but we're ready to change. We are going to serve God. They look at Joshua and say, Joshua, we're not going to stand by and let you do this by yourself. We're going to serve God as well. And so this morning, it takes a serious choice. They first made a choice. Hey, we want to serve God. Joshua said, no, 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 you can't. And then it goes from a serious choice to a serious commitment. Now they say, no, no, we are going to serve God. Hey, we're not just talking about it. We're going to do it. We will serve God. And Joshua says, all right. If you want to serve God, they say, we will serve God. Then look what, in fact, look what it says, verse 22. Joshua said, you're witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. They said, yes, we will. We're not only going to say it. We're going to put something behind it. It's not enough this morning, and I hope that we have an invitation in a few minutes, and I hope you come say, I want to, or maybe in your seat, wherever you are, I want to serve God, but not enough just to say it. A lot of people say stuff. Joshua says, I want to see something here. They want to see something beyond just your words, to see that you're really committed to this, that you're serious about this. I can say all I want to, and I can get a bit more and say, hey, I'd like to lose some weight. I won't get any testimonials from y'all this morning who think I need to lose weight as well. All right. But you know what I need to do? You just have to do it, right? You ever said something to your spouse? You know, I'm going to start doing this. She shakes her head. It's going to last 3 days, right? Maybe that. All right. But hey, it's enough saying. You ever got, man, I don't want to say it. I just want to do it, right? I want to do it and fulfill it. And here's where the people of Israel are. Joshua says, no, you can't serve the Lord. They said, no, no, we are going to serve the Lord. We're not just talking about it. We'll be witnesses against ourselves. We will do it. And then Joshua says, all right, I want you to understand what goes into that. Look at verse number 23. Now therefore, okay, if you're serious, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Hey, if you're really serious about it,
and you've chosen to serve God, it's not just something you're saying, but it's a real commitment, let me tell you what needs to happen. First of all, you've got to put away the gods that you're serving right now. And let me tell you this, for us as Christians, if we're serious about serving God, we need to put away some things. Put away the gods that we're serving now. I listened to a message by my dad this week, and man, it was so good. But he was, and this was 17 years ago. You know what he said up here and preached? He did it on a Sunday night, but I can get away with it because I'm going to say what he said, all right? So get mad at him. Don't get mad at me, all right? But he said this. He said, if you're a parent and you say you're trying to rear your children in a godly way and you're trying to teach them what's right, he said, and you're saying all that and you allow them to have a television in their room and you allow them to have video games in the room, he says, do you understand? Those people hate God, and you're allowing stuff in your home from people that hate God. How can you expect to rear children for God when you've got that kind of stuff in their room? That's how he said it. That's 17 years ago. Hey, you know what? The problem is, for some of us, we don't want to forsake the strange gods that we have around us. Hey, we don't want to... I want to serve God to a point, but if you mean getting rid of... Oh, man. Hey, Joshua says, if you're serious about it, then you better get rid of some things. Let me say this morning, one of the things now that we have that we didn't have 17 years ago, hey, if we're going to serve God, we need to put that phone down. Put it down. I'm just telling you, put it down. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, put it down. I'm tired of seeing people say, hey, young man, I want to serve God in my life. Put the phone down then. Put it down. In fact, get rid of it, if you really. Don't get one. Our kids, I don't... All right, Josiah's not over here. I can talk about him today, all right? But Josiah's 17 years old. We just got him a phone that all he can do is call on it. That's it, to let us know we've got somewhere. No internet, nothing. I'm not giving my kids the internet. I'm sorry. I'm not. I will not. If they want to sneak around somewhere else and find it, whatever, if I find out they're going to your house, I'm mad at you, all right? But I'm not giving it to them. Sorry, I'm not doing it. And you can criticize, whatever. But I'm telling you this morning, there needs to be, if we're going to really serve God, there's got to be some forsaking of those things. And for all of us to look at, hey, what's in it in our heart? And we talk about, man, I want to serve God. I want to do this and this ministry. What are you doing right now? That's what Joshua was looking at. His people said, if you're really serious about it, then you need to understand you're going to forsake some things. And by the way, it gives not only that, look at verse number 23. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. He says you need to remove anything that's keeping you from serving God. And you need to start leaning unto Him instead of yourself. Trust in the Lord with what? How much of it? All your heart, right? And lean not into, man, how many times, I feel like I do this every week, and lean not into my own, I'm always leaning over to my understanding, right? I always want to lean that direction when it comes to making a decision and in my home or in my marriage, and I always lean towards me. I always, have that needle just leans towards me, whatever's best for me. But no, don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Are you inclined unto the Lord? Are you willing to commit to daily serving Him? Hey, if I have a young man, and one of these young men was to walk the aisles this morning and say, hey, I think God's called me to preach. You know, first thing I want to talk to him about, are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Hey, are you trying to be a witness in the way you act? Are you obeying mom and dad at home? Hey, because if you can't do those things, and that'd be perfect, but if you can't, then, are you sitting there on your phone all the time? If you can't do those things now, then how in the world are you going to serve God, right? And by the way, if I have an older person that comes and says, hey, I want to, it doesn't mean they want to serve God full time. Hey, I want to help out any way I can. You know what I want? Hey, you're in your Bible. You're praying. Are you talking to God? Do you have a relationship with God? Are you treating your wife right? Are you treating your husband right? Hey, because if we're not doing those things, how in the world are we going to do anything great for God if we haven't inclined our hearts to Him? You know how to be a good parent? Hey, get closer to God. You know how to be a good husband, good wife? Get closer to God.
You know how to serve Him better, get closer to Him, incline your heart to Him, remove those things, forsake those gods, and then you had a serious choice and you have a serious commitment, and then finally a serious covenant. Look at verse number 25. As Joshua's not playing around. Hey, Joshua says, I made my decision. You can decide what you're going to do. We go back to verse 24. I like this. This is what the people say. Look at verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. You know, there's a lot of people in churches that say they want to serve, but they want to do it the way they want to. Oh, I'll serve, but not in obedience to God. By the way, there's a lot of churches out there that talk about what they're doing in service, and I'm not trying to be critical of them, but I tell you this, if they're doing things that go against the Word of God, they're not being obedient to the Word of God. I don't care how many people they're reaching or how many people they say they're serving, they better do it the way God says to do it. And these people said, hey, we will serve and we will obey. So Joshua says, all right, let's see how serious you are about it. Look at verse number 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people this day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. He took a great stone and sat up there under an oak. It was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Joshua says, I'm going to put a stone. He says, this is going to be a stone, something you can see. I'm putting it right by the tabernacle. So, hey, when you come, you'll be reminded of that stone that was there. And that stone is a witness. He says, I'm writing these things down in the book of the law of God. Let me ask you this morning, do you want to serve God? And I don't care, young or old, and you may this morning say, yes, that's, hey, I want to serve God with whatever days I have left. You know about last week, Joshua, when he said this in Joshua chapter 24, he's at the end of his life, and he's almost done. Yet Joshua says, hey, with all the days I have left, I'm going to serve God. Doesn't matter if anybody else says, I will. If I said this morning, how many want to serve God, and I was to get you, maybe even, I said, listen, just pray at your seats, and probably have a good number that would. I might even say, hey, raise your hand. Probably have a decent number. What if I this morning got out some paper and wrote down and said, I will serve God with the rest of my life no matter what, and I'm going to pass it. I want you to sign on to this. Ooh, that's a little more serious. And once you sign it, we're going to post it in the foyer. So you come in every week and you can see, I said I was going to serve God with the rest of my life. You think we'd have as many people sign on? Joshua said, if you're serious about it, there's got to be a commitment. And there's got to be not just a commitment. He said, there's a covenant here. He says, here's a covenant that you're going to make with God, a decision you're going to make with God, that I'm going to sign on. These people said, we're going to sign on. And Josh says, I'm going to put this in a prominent place. Hey, these words, I'm going to write down this covenant that you made, and I'm going to put this stone right here so that you can see what you signed on to do. And you know what that means? That means it's serious. And you know what? Serving God and whatever it is He has you to do in the ministries in this church or wherever it is that God would lead you in and all those things, it's a serious thing. Using the rest of your life to serve for God. Let me ask you, hey, I think about this with our military. I love our military. I appreciate so much what they do. I heard y'all talking about that a little bit this morning. When you sign up for the military, those of y'all have done that and you've joined, can you go in a couple weeks and say, hey, I was just kidding, man. I know I signed, but I really don't think, what do you think, Brother James? You go in there a couple weeks and say, I really don't think this is, you're getting a basic training for a few weeks. That's probably not the best thing for me. I'm going to go ahead and get out if that's all right. No, you signed a commitment, right? You signed a commitment. It's sad in our day and age that we'd be more committed to other things than we would be the things of God. Hey, how about signing up with God? Saying, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm signing. I'm with that. I'll do it. I'll serve you. These people, they say, hey, we want to serve God. Josh says, no, you don't. You're not serious about it. You're not serious. No. We commit to serve God. He said, okay, here's what you have to do. He said, yeah, we'll do it. And we'll not only do it, we'll sign on to it. We'll promise you that we're going to serve God. Hey, this morning, do you want to serve Him? It's a serious thing. Father, I pray that you be with us as a people. And Lord, first, I do pray for those this morning, maybe somebody here that's not saved. And boy, there's nothing more serious than what happens with our soul for eternity. And we enjoy church, and I want to be around God's people in the fellowship. But boy, when it comes to eternity, Lord, that's serious. That's serious. And I pray if there's someone here that's never trusted you, Lord, to convict their heart this morning. Let the Holy Spirit do its work in their life and in their heart. And I pray, Lord, they decide this morning to trust you. And then, Lord, help those that are saved to commit themselves to service to you. Lord, help it not just be something flippant, something we just say, something we just, well, maybe we'll do that. No, help it to be a serious commitment, a serious covenant to follow you with our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. And let me just say this very quickly. We haven't done this last couple of weeks, but if you're here this morning, before we start the music, if you're here this morning and you say this, you say, I know for sure I'm saved. Again, this is serious stuff. You say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, not because of me, because of Jesus Christ. If you could say it, just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. Thank you. Again, this is serious. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I really don't know. If something was to happen to me, I hope I go to heaven, but I can't say I know for sure. And if you're like that this morning, we've got, in fact, we got a baptism here in just a couple minutes. One of our young ladies who just in the last few years got assurance of salvation, just wanted to make sure, now wants to make sure she's baptized on the right side of salvation. So maybe you this morning, I'm just not sure, whatever. You say, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Anybody at all like that? I want to embarrass you at all, but I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. How serious are we about the things of God? Are we truly committed to what He has for us to do? As the music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Just have a baptism and
Stephanie, I hate to put a pressure, but if we can just play a song or two, we won't have any singing. But anyway, just a song or two while we're waiting for that and getting ready. So y'all can be seated for just a couple minutes and have baptism here in just a minute.